Be grounded. You know, I've been wondering ever since I got the theme how you were going to carry it out. I thought maybe you would do the electrical thing, and I thought, oh my goodness, I hope not. If I have to handle that, I'm out from the beginning. I'll be zapped. I never thought of coffee. It never occurred to me. But that's so neat. But I have been sitting here wondering what flavor I am. Never mind, don't tell me what you think, okay? It is so important to be grounded. I was really delighted when I learned the theme. Ladies, I don't know if you go to different ladies' retreats or weekends or conferences, but ladies can come up with some very interesting themes. Sometimes I think they lie awake nights trying to create something new and challenge the speaker. I've had some horrible themes. We will not go there. This is a good theme. I don't know of a day when believers, women, born-again women, more greatly need to be grounded in the Word of God. The devil is having a heyday. We live in a moral sewer, and this world is in pathetic, pathetic need of those who live moment by moment for Jesus Christ. I do pray that God will impress upon our hearts, every one of us individually, personally, the importance of being grounded in His blessed, blessed Word. In this opening session tonight, I want to, for each one of us, to ask ourselves a question. I'm not talking coffee and I'm not talking electricity. I'm not going either one of those ways. But I want to ask the question, am I a rooted plant or am I tumbleweed? Every one of us who is born again by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ ought to be a rooted plant. Now, that is not an original with me. Those of you who know the Word know that this picture of the rooted plant, the fruitful tree, is mentioned several times in Scripture. We're going to look at one of those tonight. If you would turn with me to the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. The 17th chapter of Jeremiah. God impressed upon Jeremiah here a very clear and a very powerful picture of what the believer should be and what will result when the believer is that rooted, rooted plant. We'll start with Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, and follow with me. See it there in the Word, please. Don't just listen, but see it in the Word. God speaking through Jeremiah says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Okay, now ladies, look at the beginning of that verse, and note that God is speaking about an individual. Okay, he doesn't deal with us. He doesn't speak to us in blobs of humanity or masses of humanity. He zeroes in and he talks to the individual. So he's saying to me and he's saying to you, you need to be like that tree. You need to be a rooted plant. And he says some very interesting things here about that rooted plant, doesn't he? And I just want us to think together tonight about how these considerations here on the pages of God's Word apply to each one of us individually. How these considerations should be applied to our heart, to our life, to our mind, to every part of ourselves, that we might consistently be that rooted spiritual plant. God wants to bless us. He begins this passage that way, doesn't he? He talks about the blessing there is for the rooted plant. Then why, as we look around Christendom today, do we see so many tumbleweeds and so few, so sadly few, rooted plants? Let's think about these things together. Let's begin then with the plant's origination, okay? Considering yourself as a rooted plant, where does it begin? What's its origination? Grace. A plant doesn't plant itself. A plant is planted. Matthew 15:13, Jesus Christ is speaking, and he said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." If I am to be a rooted plant, I must have been planted by the Word of God. By His wonderful, wonderful grace, I must be made new through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. There is no way I can make myself a plant. There is no way I can even begin to put down roots and live by that river and have a successful life, a blessed life, a rich testimony. No way. The origination is all of God's grace. So ask yourself right here, have I been planted? Has God's hand planted me? He says here, if not, I'm going to be torn out of the earth. I am not going to survive. This is a very, very critical question. Oh, my precious lady friend, I hope you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are born again. You are living the new life in our precious Lord Jesus Christ, who is himself our life. Our origination is grace. And before we go on, let me try to encourage you by reminding you that the planting and the placement of you individually is in accord with God's plan and His purpose. Why do I say that? Because I meet a lot of ladies who really question. They look over here at another plant and think, well, you know, if I were there, or if I were that kind of a plant, I could do a lot better for the Lord. No. No. You are fulfilling God's purpose. He planted you, and He has a purpose for you. This time, this place, you are according to His heart and His wonderful, wonderful will and mind. Okay, that's a plant's origination. What about the plant's occupation? I, as a spiritual plant, what is to be my occupation? Simple, growth. Growth. I don't stay that tiny seed. I don't stay the little twig, the little shoot that comes up out of the ground. I shouldn't. I should be growing consistently. Now, when we talk about a plant out here in the field, the growth is natural. It just, that's what the plant does. That's its whole thing. It ain't for me, and it ain't for you. Spiritual growth is super natural. Everything in my natural being goes against growth. It does not want to have that spiritual growth. It wants to go the other way. It wants to stay right down here. Out of the range of those who are shooting, out of the range of pressure, out of the range of difficulty. I want to stay little, low to the ground. No. We are to be growing. That is to be our occupation. And what's to motivate that growth? Love for the planter. Love for the planter. Here's our basic scripture for the weekend, Ephesians 3:17. Rooted and grounded where? In love. And that's not just a bulbous blob of loviness. Love for the planter. And if I truly love my Heavenly Father, if I truly love that Jesus Christ who bled and died on the cross for me, I will want to grow. That will motivate me to seek growth from His Word. It will drive me to His Word. It will give me delight in seeking growth. But if there's no love there, have you noticed recently how many times in God's Word he seeks the love of His people? He loves us with incredible love. And He seeks our love. That thought absolutely overwhelms me. He wants this crummy blob of mortality to love Him? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I know deep in my heart that my whole life should be love for Him. That's the very least that I can give back to Him. But that is to be my motivation for growth. But then what's my method for growing? Learning. Not just learning facts. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, learn of me. Learn of me. Learn about Jesus Christ. That's how I grow. I go to this precious word every day, and I use it like a telescope to bring Jesus closer and closer and closer as I focus here. To learn more about Him on a daily basis and grow in my love for Him. Colossians 2:7 says I'm to be rooted and built up in Him. My precious lady friend, has it never thrilled you to the bottom of your toes to realize that we are in a personal, individual, intimate relationship with the God of glory? We should be overwhelmed by that fact, shouldn't we? Rooted and built up in Him. That's where my rooting has to be. I can't just be reaching out here with my roots and trying to bring in something. There's nothing there. Not a thing there. Okay, let's think through that image of the tree that Jeremiah gave us there at the beginning. How do I activate my roots? How do I activate them? I make the choice. Here is another thought that really grabs me over and over again. God in no way wants you or me to be a robot. He does not want to demand your love, demand my love. He gives me choice. He lets me choose at point after point. I need to begin that choice by making a determination. I want to grow. And you've heard it said just as I have. You are as spiritual as you want to be. It all comes down to choice. God does not zap us with spiritual growth. He does not. He asks us to grow like that plant, the process of growing. But I have to make the determination. And then second, I have to be diligent. Make those roots reach out. Make them reach down into this blessed book. Not just skim the surface when I open it. Not just quote it for a bunch of Sunday school prizes or whatever. But to get my roots down into this precious, precious word. And it's work. And you know, I think if we're going to be honest, we will have to admit that that's many times where we stop. If God would zap us with spirituality, it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? It doesn't work that way. And because it's work, it's very easy to slack off. Have you not noticed that inevitably, the time of the day that gets slaughtered is the time of the day you intended to go to God's Word? Haven't you? That's what gets hit. How many things can come in there? But I must keep that determination. I must be willing to be diligent. And as I do that, as you do that, isn't there delight in this blessed book? Oh my goodness, the nutrients that come in. No matter where you are in the book, no matter how many times you've been there before, it just floods you, doesn't it? And the delight of that is really beyond any description, isn't it? The beautiful reality of that. God talks here about the river beside which this tree stands. Do you get the picture? The supply there that this tree has access to. It's a river. It's not a trickle. It's not a creek. It's a river. No wonder there is such marvelous stuff flowing in to and through these roots. It's a river, my dear. Get it? Freshness. It's not a stagnant mud puddle. It's not a little pond with scum around the edges. It's a river, always fresh. You experience that here, don't you? You may have memorized a passage when you were in five-year-old Sunday school. And now, as a mother or even a grandmother, you come to that passage. There's something new, isn't there? Always fresh. Planted by that wonderful river. I think I'm going to lose my little hickey here. They probably count on the speaker standing still. I have a hard time standing still. Okay, we will go on. All right, what are the results that God points us to here if we are that plant, that rooted plant? What does he say? Okay, here comes a heat wave. The tree doesn't die, does it? Look at your verse. It is not troubled by that heat wave. Look at the verse. It's an evergreen tree. Isn't that neat? Its leaf doesn't wither. You know, one of the things that frustrates me about South Carolina, it has deciduous trees. You know what deciduous trees have the nerve to do? They drop their leaves. They're bare in the winter. I was born in Oregon and grew up in Washington. I love evergreens. They're green all year long. And that's a picture here. When we are rooted in the Word of God, we're evergreens. There is not a time when we drop our leaves and get bare, no matter what the season. What does the verse say? It says that this tree is nurtured in spite of drought. It's not hurt when the things dry up around. What does it say about this rooted plant? It's fruitful. Fruitful. Isn't that beautiful? Producing fruit. How long? Look at your passage, lady. Isn't that neat? It doesn't wear out. Lifelong fruitfulness. And don't you know some Christian woman who beautifully, beautifully illustrates that? As she goes through the years, don't you see the fruit of her life? Not withering, not dropping away, but getting richer and sweeter all the time. Absolutely. And that can be you and that can be me if we are that rooted plant. Now, those are wonderful pictures, aren't they? But I may not be a rooted plant. I may instead be a tumbleweed. Now, I lived with tumbleweeds in Washington State, but I first, in working on this talk, I went to the dictionary to find out what exactly one was. My dictionary told me that a tumbleweed is any of various densely branched annual plants, such as amaranth and Russian thistle. But why is it called a tumbleweed? Because at the end of the growing season, it breaks off from the roots. And then it begins to be rolled around by the wind. I don't know if you've traveled in the West and seen tumbleweeds. I saw them year after year, and they always really gave me a funny feeling in watching them. Why? Because a tumbleweed is totally without direction. Totally without. Whatever way the wind is blowing, that's where the tumbleweed is going. There are Christian women like that, aren't there? No real direction, no attachment, no roots, simply going wherever the wind may take them. What happens to those tumbleweeds? They get caught in fences. So many times as a fence runs behind a highway out west, you'll see stuffed with tumbleweeds, absolutely stuffed. They're captured there. They're caught and kept by that obstacle. I know Christian women like that, don't you? And you know what else those clumped tumbleweeds do there in the fence line? They ruin the whole landscape. They make an ugly spot in a place where otherwise there would be a beautiful view of God's creation. Not very positive plants, are they? They also do something else. They clutter the highways. They blow across the highways, distracting travelers, in many instances making danger. There are Christian women like that, aren't there? Having a negative influence on those around them. I think one of the clearest pictures of tumbleweeds in my mind and heart has to do with some dropouts and even some graduates of Bob Jones University who choose to stay in Greenville, South Carolina. And they have a very unhappy purpose. They reach into the university and they try to pull some of the students to go the wrong way. Tumbleweeds. Tumbleweeds. Very, very ugly. If we are a tumbleweed, we experience a terrible, terrible tumbling. We betray him who planted us and intended for us to grow. Look there again in Jeremiah 17, but back up just two verses. Very interesting. I didn't create this picture. Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. What a contrast, isn't there, between that rooted plant and the tumbleweed? Okay, in our lives and in the lives of those around us, what are the signs of rootlessness? What is God referring to here in Jeremiah? Misplaced trust. Doesn't he? Look at it there on your scripture. Misplaced trust. I'm not rooted in his word. I'm reaching out here to humanity for my support, for my encouragement, for my infilling. Misplaced trust. Galatians 4:9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Why would I? Why would I change my trust, put it in anything other than in my Heavenly Father? What are some of those misplaced trusts? How are they indicated? I think. Oh boy. Does it matter what I think? Sorry. It only matters what God thinks. The only thing we are to consider. What about emotion?
I feel.
Oh, we're good feelers, aren't we? We women. But this can be a real danger area, can't it? Aren't there women out there who've become tumbleweeds and are so definitely day by day, moment by moment, living on the emotional level, all emotion, none of this? My trust goes to the world's scales. I don't take into consideration that God says this is bad and this is good. I instead look around and say, well, is somebody else doing it? Then that means I can. No, it doesn't. Another sign of rootlessness is misdirected allegiance. It's there in the scripture, isn't it? Jeremiah 2:13, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What's a broken system that I might go to if I'm a tumbleweed? The cistern of self. It's always there, always available. Self-determination, self-reliance, self-gratification. And what results with the tumbleweed? Self-destruction. You know what happens to the tumbleweed ultimately? As it dries and dries and dries out there, rolling in front of the wind, it ultimately falls into tiny, tiny little parts and just sort of disappears. Pretty pathetic picture, isn't it? But you and I can be a tumbleweed spiritually. Tumbleweeds are described and warned in Jeremiah 14:10. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Oops. There is a price to be paid by the tumbleweed, isn't there? Very, very definitely. And rootlessness, my precious Christian friend, results in suffering. Jeremiah 6:19, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." Now, my dear friend, perhaps you're sitting here thinking, boy, does she stick in the Old Testament. Has God changed? No, ma'am. No, ma'am. What he said and what he demonstrated in the Old Testament, revealing who he is, has not changed one iota. If I choose to be a tumbleweed, I am going to reap what he says I will reap. God's heart is so wonderfully expressed, I believe, in Jeremiah 2:21. It's as if you can hear God cry. "I had planted thee a noble vine, wholly a ripe seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me?" God's heart wants you, and he wants me to be a rooted plant, that blessed plant, pulling in nutrients, refreshed spiritually, growing, consistently pulling in, growing, producing fruit. That's the desire of his heart for every one of us. And his heart cries when instead I choose to be a tumbleweed. So I would leave you with a question. Only you and the Lord know tonight. Are we a tumbleweed? Maybe I look like a rooted plant, but am I really a tumbleweed? Lamentations 3:40 charges us, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." Oh, that every one of us might choose by God's grace and by his enabling to be a rooted, grounded in the living word.